There we go. M&OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur alongside Hamp and OB. And this game here set football back about 100 years. 6-3 the final. Seahawks over the Bears. And I guess it doesn't matter who's actually manning the headsets for the Bears as the head coach, since there's going to be some time management issues and there's going to be some play calling issues and there's just going to be issues, period. And
okay,
that's what happened.
We're going to talk about the ineptitude that we unfortunately all had to witness. And if I hadn't seen it, I would not have believed the way this thing played out. Yeah, it was unbelievably hard to watch. But Andy, it's hard to believe that we could be that stupid. And we're going to get into it, folks. But I got to tell you, the insane ineptitude by Thomas Brown, and we saw it just unravel in the second half. But by the end of the game, I mean, it didn't set it back 100 years. We should have to forfeit our franchise. And again, this goes to what general manager would have hired idiot coaches like this in the first place? Isn't there some kind of aptitude test? Look, and I got to tell you, this was not Caleb Williams made three plays that were unbelievable, but the other 50 plays, it was like he was concussed. He couldn't process. He couldn't think. Seattle was doing a good job taking away the first, you know, read on his options. Then he panicked, and then they started with the overload blitz. We had no answer, and, you know, what you do is side adjust. Never once did we do that, and guess what, OB? We deserve what we got.
Well, it's going to be very difficult, folks, for the next 2 hours. Again, my opening volley, I have nothing good to say. This coaching staff, all of you saw it today. What they were out at the game, you people saw it on TV or listened to it on the radio, okay? This team is pathetic. It's pathetically coached, and it's pathetically played. There is no strategy whatsoever of how to attack on defense. There is no strategy at all how to convert on third down, let alone throw a pass over 20 yards, let alone throw a ball into the end zone, let alone win a football game against a team that you could beat. We can't beat anybody. You know why? We got a quarterback that can't come to the quality that everybody says he should be at, but he's not there. We have a coaching staff that are stuck in quicksand. And we have players, as far as I'm concerned, I'd fire every one of them. Did you watch them in the last two series, our offensive line? Did you watch the effort that they gave, play after play after play, trying to win a football game? It was sickening. As a matter of fact, this coaching staff is sickening, the players are sickening, and the game sucked, period. My God, how can you play? This is your last game at home against a team that you could beat, and you fail miserably in a running game, you failed in the passing game, you failed in an overall offensive scheme, and defensively, what the hell did you do? You held the team to 6 points. Congratulations for that, for whatever it's worth. But I'll tell you what, you got one more game, and that's going to be up in Green Bay. And, folks, hold on to your backsides for that one.
So 6-3 the final as the Seahawks beat the Bears here today. And, you know, I'm left to wonder on the last drive that the Bears had, a couple of instances that, to me, really stand out. I mean, Thomas Brown is the he I'm referring to, calling a timeout with the play and the clock stopped, basically, because it was an incomplete pass.
Andy, what you saw there,
yeah,
was he's the head coach and offensive coordinator, so to speak.
Yep.
Okay? And the rest of the coaches, he didn't know what to do.
I know. Everybody looked bewildered.
What is god-awful? We had a quarterback that didn't know what to do.
Yep.
I mean, how are you going to score points? How are you going to move the ball down the field when you don't have a competent head coach, competent offensive coaches, and a quarterback that game after game, he's failed us miserably? Why? We can't convert on third down. You saw it again today, folks. How many times did we convert on third down? And in four quarters, with the greatest quarterback on earth, we scored 3 points? You got to be kidding me.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
You know.
I do.
You look, the only thing that kind of gave me, you know, a thought was looking at Thomas Brown botch play after play after play there in the third and fourth quarter. He was wearing a sweatshirt that said, "Be a change maker." I'm all for it. I'm all for them changing him as head coach for the finale up in Green Bay. This cannot go on. It has to stop. And again, the total ineptitude of this offense defies description. I've been watching this football team for 45 years. I've never seen anything so bizarre, so inept, and so pathetically stupid. And again, late in the third quarter, they started bringing an overload blitz. And as a defender, we worked on it all the time. You would run it a little bit. The smart quarterbacks, smart coaching would tell the offense, fine, let them bring that side. You just have side adjustment, have a receiver. Break down in the vacant area, easy catch, run for a first down. We never did it once, and they must have run that overload blitz 10 times in the third and fourth quarter, and we never made an adjustment. What are they thinking?
Danny, folks, you know how many net yards we passed for today in four quarters? 76 yards. That's roughly what? About 38 yards a half? What? We didn't even get 200 yards total running and passing. Okay, against a team, not against the Lions, not against the Vikings, but against the Seahawks. Okay, and we were at home again. And I'm telling you, folks, that effort I saw by those players out there today, and I don't know, Dan, how you truly feel about it or whatever, but I'm telling you, it made me sick. It made me sick. There was a lack of effort. You could see it. Some of those guys were running and making their moves at half speed. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. And we have a coach at another one at the end of a game. What the hell do you think you pay these guys this money for? When it comes down to these situations, they have the answer. Or they should have it. We didn't have it again. How is that possible at this level, at this time in the game of professional football in the National Football League? And you want to know what we are, folks? We're the dumbest damn football team in this league. The dumbest.
All right, 312-981-7200. That is our telephone number. We'll take your calls here in just a moment. Have to step aside for a quick timeout. We know how to use our timeouts. Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Now, back to the Hampton OB show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. How well do the Bears protect the pocket? It's sponsored by the Protect and Grow Retirement Plan by TJ Stearns. Always protecting your pocket. Call them at 800-640-2256. I'd say not really good.
Make the call. We need them to protect us.
7 more sacks of Caleb Williams tonight.
67 on the season. 4th most in NFL history, folks.
Okay, let me throw another little tidbit in there. Was Cole Kmet, was he suited up? Was he on the football field today?
Oh, yeah.
He was there.
Oh, yeah.
Not one time targeted.
No targets.
Not one time passed to him, folks.
Nope.
Cole Kmet.
And I told you.
Not one time.
And I told you guys 6 weeks ago why that's going on, and we'll talk about it later. Let's get to the cars.
All right, 312-981-7200. That's the number. Let's start in Mundelein and say hi to Charlie. Charlie, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. I'm kind of, you took the wind out of my sail there, OB. It's a pleasure to talk to both of you guys. By the way, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Same here.
Also, the Cole Kmet thing, the whole team is like a DEI disaster. I mean, you won't use the only one white guy that might be able to help open up the field a little bit. They won't toss to him. I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either, Charlie.
Well, Charlie, you may not have heard a few weeks ago, there was a subversive move on this football team from the very go, and it started in training camp. And it was initiated by the fact that Chris Beattie came from the Chargers. And guess who did as well? That's right, Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen is one of those type of players that is the selfish me first player. And it was all about him being featured in this offense. And then DJ Moore got his panties in a wad. And so that became, and then Adunze had to be, you know, featured as well. And Cole Kmet is relegated to blocking.
And he's your catalyst in the passing game.
Absolutely.
Cole Kmet is.
And this
he's
offense,
a fire starter.
Exactly. And this offense is a West Coast-based offense. And look at all the ones that rip people apart. The tight end is an integral part of it. And yet ours is an afterthought. No excuse.
312-981-7200. Let's go out to Michigan City, Indiana, and say hi to John. John, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Best of holidays to all you guys. But you know what? I want to get in a little bit of politics with this. You know, and you guys hit around about this. You know, if you didn't have Netflix or Prime and you didn't live in the Chicago area for the last 2 days, you couldn't watch an NFL football game. Now, I think we're being extorted because, you know, when they started a parody in this league, they said, you know, with the salary cap, the players were going to come out and they were going to play. Well, what I see, and it's just not in Chicago, I see it across the NFL. These players, they're paid. Every year they're paid more and more and more money, and we're seeing less and less performance on the field. And I think as fans, we're being extorted because we have to pay for these channels. The players keep paying more money, and I've always heard, and I'm a capitalist from the day one, I've always heard, you know, whatever the market will bear. Well, you know what? We can't bear this anymore because I see players come to Chicago, they get big contracts, and they do not perform. And OB and Dan, you guys hint around about this all the time. And I'm sorry I'm not having a conversation. I'm making a statement. But I'm just tired of it. You know, I hear about how well these players play, how great they are, and then they come to Chicago. You see it in Cleveland. You see it in a lot of markets where they just don't. There's no parity. There's no effort out there. I can watch it on TV. And I see it, and you guys see it. We all see it.
Johnny, now let me
I'll
tell you,
Johnny, I'll shut up, and I hope you guys will say something to me.
I'm not going to disagree with you at all, but I'll tell you. That's something that I've never shied away from talking about, nor has Dan Hampton either. You know, Nate Davis, when Poles signed him to, I believe it was a 3-year, $30 million contract, which was $10 million a year guaranteed. And this guy, he couldn't play dead, John. And we have too many of these kind of ball players still on this football team. And that game today, our offensive line, if you looked at them, especially in that last half, it was pathetic. It was pathetic. The effort that they put out, the lack of effort that they put out was embarrassing and insulting to anybody who's ever played this game at this level. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It was god-awful.
And back to your initial point, which was about the fact that Amazon and Netflix, the streaming services, have been in a position where they exclude certain customers, and you have to pay the piper to be able to watch these games. Well, guess what? You can lay that at the feet of Roger Goodell. the Mr. Potter of the NFL, who doesn't care about the fan. He only cares about what the owners want. And he is basically extorting money from all these different streaming services. He could care less if you have the subscription. He says, hey, step up and pay for it. And they don't care. And it's sickening.
There's a bad core in this in the Chicago Bears. And I don't think it's only at one level. I think it's at several levels. Why do I say that? At the effort I saw here, my God, an we can only score 3 points against the Seattle Seahawks. And the effort that I saw, and you go back to the previous games, I'll tell you, folks, you look at the coaching and you look at the efforts and you look at the effort of these players that they're giving out there. And not only that, their own personal annex that they're pulling out on the field of play and in practice. And nobody gets called in. Nobody gets taken down. Nobody gets filtered. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. You want to talk about somebody, George McCaskey? You want to talk about cleaning house? My God, do you have a job on your hands? What's been going on here is beyond pathetic. It's disgraceful. Pay these guys this kind of money and let them get away with the effort that they did tonight, the week before, the week before, the week before. And what am I talking about? For God's sakes, you scored 3 points tonight. Three. You got to be kidding me. Who's accountable? Somebody's got to step up. Somebody's got to do something here. You got 1 week left, and we go up and we play Green Bay, and I'm going to tell you what. They are going to be standing, sitting, looking, and waiting for the Bears to come in, okay? And if you guys play the way you played tonight, putting up 3 points on the board and giving the effort that you gave, I don't know what the hell's going to happen with the Bear fans or what, but I'll tell you what. It's beyond disgusting to me, the effort that these guys put. Is a disgrace.
Well, we'll see if there's enough brooms in Lake Forest to start the job here in the next couple of weeks. But until then, if you're on hold, please stay there. We'll get to you after the news. 6-3
the
final.
From the city of Chicago.
That's a good point. We might need them. 6-3 the final. Seahawks over the Bears. Well, we're going to get to the news here and get back to your calls in just a few moments. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Well, that's Farrell Brown making that guy. And we think it is for the moment. So the crowd, of course, thinks it's a touchdown.
On the field,
he's down. I mean,
is that the officials? We did not rule the runner down. The ball is out. Touchdown.
Oh!
The runner did fumble the ball. However, when Chicago picked it up, he was down by contact at that spot. It'll be Chicago's ball.
There's the reaction. It's Chicago's ball. They'll bring it back. There is no touchdown.
Courtesy of Amazon Prime, our game-changing moment brought to you by the Mueller Auto Group. Family dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. The fumble recovered by Kyler Gordon. He actually picked it up and ran for a touchdown, but they ruled him down by contact.
You know what, folks? The bottom line is that our offense today, tonight, folks, they couldn't even score 1 point a quarter. Let me say it again. They couldn't score. They couldn't generate 1 point average, 1 point a quarter.
Happen will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We're monitoring and we're waiting to hear from the interim head coach, Thomas Brown.
The genius.
We want to find out what he has to say about the fact that at 4th and 10, from the Seattle 40.
There's nobody going to ask him any tough questions, Andy.
Why he didn't attempt a field goal. I mean, it seemed like it was going to be the layup.
Again, for them not to even broach the subject, have Cairo Santos up there on the edge of the field to go out. The only answer is Santos told him he can't make it from there. He can't make a 57-yarder into the south end zone.
Or if it's not that, then it's stupidity by the head coach, or Maybe it's all the above.
All the above.
Maybe it's the all above. All the above, Danny.
Yep.
312-981-7200.
Just like we didn't see Montez Sweat half the game. Well, he didn't want to be a part of it. He didn't want to affect the game. Well, maybe Cairo Santos didn't want the opportunity to miss it, and everybody blame him. Who knows?
I told this coaching staff has to go, and there's people in that front office and executive positions that have to go.
That's where the coach tells that kicker, you stand next to me, and if it's a 60-yarder and I say go out there and kick it, you go out there.
Yeah, at least give it a shot, for goodness sakes. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Orland Park and say hi to Bill. Bill, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Ed?
Hi,
Dan and Ed, Happy New Year. Hope you have a good year in 2025.
You too. Thank you.
I just want to tell you, like, you're right, Ed, about Cole Kmet. Where is he? I don't get it. Now, I don't blame Cole. I don't blame Caleb a lot for tonight, because the play calling was terrible. I mean, they had three runs right in a row up the middle, and they got the first down. And then Thomas Brown says, well, let's do something else. Why? If something's working, go with it.
It was 25 speed screens. And after the fourth one, Seattle started, you know, pressuring them with the corners. End of story.
Oh, yeah. That was awful.
It's sickening.
And three times on a place, I saw guys open. Three times. And Caleb wouldn't throw it all. But couldn't see him.
Bill, what you're saying is exactly correct. But let me ask you and the listeners out there and anybody, how many times do you see us throw the ball in the end zone and try to score a touchdown? How many
Zero.
Times do we throw the ball over 20 yards? None!
Zero.
All right, Bill, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We got to move on.
Thanks. Go ahead.
All right, thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you. 312-981-7200. That's the telephone number. You want to get in touch with us, let's go out to St. John, Indiana, and welcome in TJ. TJ, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey guys, before I get into this subject, before we went to commercial, I just got to say God bless that guy for speaking out, and God bless you guys for speaking out, because, you know, you guys got the right idea, and it's been a terrific honor to call in and talk to you guys about football, and I look forward to next season to doing the same again. And then, which leads to my question, Hamp, OB, do you think we'll have a different outcome for next year with a new coach? Do you think we'll have a better season?
Well, it depends on the coach. You know, folks, this team, the inmates run the asylum. They didn't even practice yesterday. Don't you think that would have been kind of handy to have a practice where they work on side adjust if there's an overload blitz coming, for the receivers to know what to do, for the quarterback to be able to identify it and make adjustments?
How about a meeting?
But again, back to the coach. And everybody knows Mike Vrabel is my pick for a multitude of reasons. And I can give you, after the calls, I'll go into it. But this idiocy we saw tonight, we never need to see again, ever, ever, ever.
And this is now the second double-digit losing streak under the regime of Brian Poles. So let that sink in as well.
And as we said here right now, we are eligible to fire this idiot bunch and bring in a new coach to assemble his staff in 10 days. Who wants to trust Ryan Poles, the guy that hired all these fools, to do it again?
You know, his first year, I gave him a lot of slack, and about halfway through his second year, all that. And then I'm starting to see things that just aren't they're not flourishing. They're really not supposed to be happening where they're going. And where we are right now, folks, we're a god-awful football team in that front office and on the football field with our coaching staff and our players. We are those three areas. We are god-awful. Just look at the record and look at the effort that the players have been putting out week from week, and look at the direction that the coaches have put these kids in, and all it's coming from above. And then you got to take a look at him, Warren and Poles, two guys that are clueless in the National Football League, and they just happen to be our executives.
All right, next up is Steve in Westchester. Steve, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Great. Hey, guys, I'm a 75-year-old, born and raised in Chicago. I go all the way back to the 59 World Series, White Sox and the Dodgers. Ed, in 63, I have fond memories of watching you and the Bears winning the championship. And then Dan, the 85 Bears were arguably the greatest team in NFL history, and I actually met you once in Oak Brook, and I was able to get your autograph for my sick father-in-law.
Super.
And that was such a thrill for him.
Well, thank you.
You were so gracious. But, you know, I've been around sports all my life, like anyone can argue. And it's great listening to you two because you don't sugarcoat it. You call a spade for a spade. And, Ed, I pray you don't have a heart attack or an aneurysm, but I can feel your passion. And it's welcomed. It's welcomed. I mean, we need a complete overhaul, starting at the executive level all the way through down to, and you know, you guys are talking about dissension on the team. That Cole Kmet went, in a neutral world, he is a weapon, and they don't throw to him one gosh darn time. He's not even a target. And there's something going on. There's an underbelly of dissension on the team. The whole thing is rotten. So I guess my final comment is, you're the only redemption in watching the game because I know that you'll call a spade, the two of you. I love you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, sir.
Steve, what you just said is what Dan and I believe. What you just said, Dan and I believe, and you said it well.
All right, so we're going to move on and try to get one more in here before we have to take our next time out. Let's go to Manfield, Texas, and say hi to Edwin. Edwin, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. I appreciate y'all taking the call. I haven't called since 2018, but I listen to your show every single morning, even though my wife and son are tired of it. Yeah, they said the Bears are never going to win, and I'm starting to believe it. So gentlemen, I just got one question for you guys, and then I'll let you answer it. Ryan Poles' record is 14-36 under his regime. He called this his deepest O-line ever. So my question to you guys is, isn't it better to align a new coach with a new GM versus risk Ryan Poles hiring another coach? And again, I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Edwin, thanks.
Okay. Again, it will take courage. Nobody believed the Bears would fire a coach during the middle of a season. They hadn't done it in 104 years. They did it. Now it's going to take more courage to say, not only is his coaching staff inept, but so is the general manager that hired him.
Right. Edwin, what I could tell you is that George McCaskey, I believe, Dan, and you correct me here if I'm wrong in your beliefs, but I believe George, it's coming down to a situation where he's got to do something in that front office. He's got to do something. He can't keep these two guys, Warren and Poles. And is he capable of letting one of them go? Is it Poles or is it Warren? Is he capable of letting both of them go or one or the other go? I truly believe, and some people say probably no, he'd never do it. He's going to keep them. He hired them and whatever have you. I do believe George has the ability and very well could fire Warren or Poles. I think he would lean in firing Poles and keep Warren, and then they would go from there. But Poles, I'll tell you what, he has failed Danny, and he has failed miserably. Folks, why? Just look at what the hell is out there with our coaches and our players from week to week to week. We're not going forward. We're not even holding our ground. We're going backwards like an avalanche.
We've had 22 different offensive line combinations. That's five positions. 22 different combinations.
22 bad moves.
Of these inept football players. You have something like that happen, the people making decisions have got to pay a price.
Absolutely. Bingo, Danny.
What play do the Bears need to scrap? Sponsored by Elgin Recycling, where you'll get top dollar for all your scrap metal. I think the initials of the play are Speed Screen.
Yeah, the speed screen. We've.
Oh my God! How many times was that thrown today?
Too many. Folks, let me tell you what the speed screen is. It's basically the offense waving a white flag saying, we do not have confidence in anything other than getting the ball out there and see if you miss a tackle.
That's right. They don't have confidence in going downfield.
Bingo.
And obviously, they don't have confidence in Cole Kmet, and they don't have confidence in our other G-Day Moore in going downfield and trying to open up the passing lanes. They don't have confidence.
All right, we're gonna take a timeout here, come back with more of your calls.
And Andy, you're not given confidence. You have to earn it. And how do you earn it? By being successful, doing it in practice and then doing it in games. We've done neither.
They don't practice.
Bingo.
That's a big problem. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Now back to the Camp and OB show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
And welcome back. Happen OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears lose 6-3 today.
25 coaches. We need about 5 Suburbans. Get them out of
there. I think, judging by the feeling here on our show, that we'll help them pack. We're available to pack boxes and tape them up.
I've got all kinds of masking tape.
312-981-7200. That's our phone number. Let's go out to Fox Lake and say hi to John. John, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hello, Ed and Dan. Hey, the linchpin in this whole debacle has to be Kevin Warren. George, it's okay as a fan if you let go Kevin Warren. I would be 100% behind it. This guy is not a career football guy. He's a suit. The guy has other agendas. I don't know if he even told you that Jim Harbaugh even came a calling. If he didn't tell you, George, shame on him. More reason to fire the guy. What you need to do, in my opinion, is go ahead and hire a separate guy for the stadium, but you gotta hire a lifelong football guy that understands an organization and how to run a football team. Not a guy that's gonna sign off on a general manager making dead contracts that you can't get rid of down the road. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
John, I mean, you put it perfectly, and I'll tell you this. The thing about Harbaugh, he was not even contacted. And you know why? Because he was cross, odds with Warren when Warren was the commissioner of the Big Ten. And so it was like, no, we don't even need to broach the subject of Jim Harbaugh being brought in.
Yeah, why would you want a guy that understands the position you're trying to develop and has a Bear pedigree?
Only 4 players in history have won both a national championship and a Super Bowl. It's insanity.
312-981-7200 out to Deerfield, and we say hi to Rick. Rick, you're up with Happen OB. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love your show, guys, and your passion and honesty is terrific. I do have a question. Knowing that the Bears have been behind in the first quarter, why would they defer the football to start the game? And what is the significance or the understanding of doing that? I really don't understand.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, Buddy Ryan used to tell us all the time the most important 10 minutes of the game is the last 5 of the first half and the first 5 of the third quarter, because that's where you can kind of make something happen and you can control possessions. Now, if you are able to score at the end of the second quarter and then you have deferred and now you're going to get possession of the ball to open the third quarter and you score. See, that is, everybody wants momentum. Everybody's looking for an angle to gain control and they think that's it. Now, I think it was 3 weeks ago we won and we did not defer and we took the ball and we went down and we scored a field goal, but only the second field goal.
One of 2, yep.
We never scored a touchdown all year, right?
Correct. Not in the first drive.
But at least it didn't blow up in our face. And the other part of this is, and this is kind of like, they don't want to tell you this. They don't want to go out and go 3-and-out and show ineptitude at the beginning of a game. They would rather kind of get into the flow and let the other team hopefully get them stopped. Then we get possession, and now we can kind of ease in. But there's all these different scenarios people believe are, important. But that is why the prevailing winds have blown. If you win the toss, you defer. I don't like it.
All right, let's get one more in before we got to get to the top of the hour news. We'll go out to Newport, California and say hi to Robert. Robert, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jones. Thanks for taking the call. This is the third year in a row that I've called in saying that nothing's going to change until the ownership changes. And given the fact that there's too many people on the board clipping coupons, we know that's not going to. We've stated all along about the ineptness of the coaching staff and the executive management and now some of the players. So given all those facts, gents, you guys are the professionals. You're both world champions, both you and Ed, Dan.
Yes,
what
sir.
Are the next steps that you realistically take to rectify the situation, and how long will it take?
Okay. And, OB, I'll let you jump in on this in a second. But here's the deal. Everybody has to just forget about the McKeskey's selling the team. It's not going to happen. So you have to work in reality. Now, the thing is, they went and hired, Kevin Warren, to come in and kind of like be the CEO. And what they wanted to do is step away so they couldn't be blamed. You understand? Okay, now we have somebody that is making those calls. Unfortunately, Kevin Warren, as the prior caller said, Kevin Warren has got an agenda. He wants to be the guy that succeeds Roger Goodell. And so he's not going to, make any waves.
What do you think Roger Goodell was today?
I'm sorry?
Where do you think Roger Goodell was sitting today?
No, there you go.
He's sitting in our executive suite.
There you go. And the point being is, I've said this a million times, an offensive coordinator don't care if they win or lose. If they score 40 points a game, they're happy. They're in high cotton. Kevin Warren, he doesn't care with the Bears as long as he is in a favorable light when the time comes for the owners to make a decision on who will be the next commissioner.
Chevy Dealers, Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game.
And it is time now for Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears tonight. It's going to be Kyler Gordon. He was all over the place tonight and recovered the fumble, took it into the end zone. He didn't hear the whistle, so that's what you're taught to do. Unfortunately, it was brought back. But again, that was a big play for the Bears at that point.
It was the biggest play of the night for the Bears, and what really set it up was the Seahawks actually were putting together a good drive, and they were down inside our 40. And not only did he make six tackles, but he stripped the ball out and recovered it, and he had a pass defense too. He played really well.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Bears lose to the Seahawks 6-3. Bears now 4-12 on the year. It's a 10-game losing streak. Second double-digit losing streak in pretty much as many years.
I told you the storm was coming.
You did tell us the storm was coming, and I brought my umbrella, but I don't think anybody else did, unfortunately. Let's go back out of the phone lines, go to Huntley and say hi to Cliff. Cliff, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, OB, I don't know much about football, but I do know stats, and I remember last year or earlier this year, you were talking about going long down the field or those slants.
Yes.
Where you really only have four things that can happen. You catch the ball, you get pass interference, you drop the ball, or there's an interception. And it's a 60% chance you're either going to catch the ball or get pass interference. With that, why wouldn't we play to those stats and try to go downfield or run those slants?
Cliff,
I'm going to hang up and let you take over for me. Thank you.
All right, Cliff, thanks.
All right, Cliff, you're exactly correct. I've been asking that same question. And what could have been done? Was it at halftime? Was it, 3 seconds to go? I can't remember.
I think it was 2 seconds, just before the half.
They should have chunked it down the field.
What they should have done, take time out, and go got deep on fly patterns, deep posts, go to the end zone, and throw a Hail Mary. You got 3 seconds left. What the hell do you got to lose?
And you're 4-11. Why not, right?
Yeah, why not? Why not attack downfield?
Ineptitude.
We don't even do that.
Nope.
Sickening.
All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go out to Hammond, Indiana, and say hi to Dan. Dan, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Danny.
After this embarrassing loss, okay, Dan, I've met you many times underneath Soldier Field with you, with the spread of food. You guys come and eat by us. The perfect thing. Fire everyone below ownership. Hire Pete Carroll to be the president and general manager. And let him start hiring his people. And let it go.
You could that's do a my, hell of a lot worse than Pete Carroll. Yeah, and you know what? He wouldn't be my first choice, but he would be in the top three probably, because you need someone that knows how to gain control of the entire situation. And I'm talking, you know, from the draft picks, the free agent signings, the coaching, everything needs to have someone that knows something about the game of football. And Pete Carroll is one of the four human beings that have won both a national championship and a Super Bowl. And he coached 14 years in Seattle, 10 times in the playoffs. The guy knows how to coach football. Trust me.
Why would we want somebody like that?
Well,
why would we want somebody like that? Sarcastic.
Yeah, it's insanity. And they go and hire a GM that doesn't have a clue, who hires a coach that didn't have a clue.
All right, time now for Who Brought It Today, which is sponsored by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. And we're thinking the defense today.
Yeah, that's the defense. Folks, you know, anytime you hold somebody without a touchdown, that's a super effort on defense. And, yeah, Seattle was pathetic as well. But it's still, you know, a fact. We held them to two field goals. If you can't win that game, shame on you. Everybody needs to be fired.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. And going, the one thing that really got me going today for those four quarters, especially the third and fourth quarter, was the effort of our offensive line. I know they struggle. They're not good enough. They're just not good enough, okay? But, boy, when you lose it mentally, when you don't even want to perform to what level that you should be performing in at and what level that you have performed at, and you let it all slide and you let it go away in the fourth quarter, and you let everybody, we can't run, we can't pass, and we can't score, and we can't convert on third down, and I've been seeing just a little bit too much of that the last half of this season. The last half, Danny, every game, and I mentioned it here before, every game they've been getting worse. They keep getting worse. I mean, it's unbelievable. And to get paid the kind of money that these guys are getting paid, it's unbelievable. Which brings me to this point about Sweat, okay? Our defensive end that makes $1,500,000 a game, which he made tonight. There was a total of 66 plays that our opponents had. He was in 41 of them. So he missed 24 snaps. He has 4.5 sacks. And in the last four or five games, he's only got one quarterback hit. Now, just let me say this quickly here. The 49ers, their defensive end. Hutchinson, the defensive end who was out for the Detroit Lions. In the first five games, folks, he had 7.5 sacks and 17 quarterback hits. As we speak today, our Sweat, our guy that makes $1,500,000, has 4.5 sacks for the total year. He had 7.5 in the first five games, and he hasn't played in the last 10 games. You don't think this guy, Danny, there are no words for this guy. And why? Where is his personal pride of not being out there with his teammates, especially in the red zone, giving it everything he has, every play, every set of downs, every quarter? You don't see it. And you wonder why the hell we are where we are? Nobody gives a damn. Nobody cares. If I was involved in this, in running this organization, Danny, I could tell you right now, and I know you too, you would never see these malcontents, non-performing guys, would never be a Chicago Bear, would never step foot on this field.
What do you think Washington wanted to unload him for a second-round pick?
Give up a second-round pick, and we signed him for almost, what was that, Danny?
$100 million for 4 years.
Yeah, for 4 years, folks, what breaks down, like I say, to 17 games, $1,500,000. And half the time you can't find the guy. It's a fact.
Where were your kick lines on that last drive?
34, 37-yard line, so somewhere close.
Well, he said the 37 or the 34-yard line, and they were at the 40 for a potential Cairo Santos game-tying field goal attempt.
So he thought they were at the 37 or the 34?
That's where they felt comfortable.
What he's saying is that Cairo Santos, the kicker goes to the coach after warm-ups and tells him where he feels comfortable as far as his range. Now, that should be, you know, operable in the second quarter or the third quarter. But it's the last play of a football game. You got a chance to tie it and go to overtime and a chance to win. How can you not let him kick from the 40?
Yeah, I hear you and I agree with you. Okay, what's the next option? Throw the damn football into the end zone. That's the next option.
Yeah.
Not a sideline pass or looking for somebody over the middle. You have a few seconds left.
Yep.
Miracles happen. Throw the damn football into the end zone. We don't even do that.
Yeah, but in reality, he was running for his life.
He was running for his life again.
What, he can't throw it that far into the end zone?
I guess not running backwards.
I ain't buying that, Dan. I'm not buying that. I think he can't throw it in the end zone, and the play should have been set up for that to happen. If you weren't going to kick the field goal, you go downfield, whatever play it is that's set up, whether it's a bootleg out, play action, whatever it is, okay? They've done it before, and that's what should have been called.
And it was a strange series of events because there was an incomplete pass with 20 seconds to go, and the clock stopped, and then the punting unit actually came onto the field.
It's like, Andy, it's like they don't know what the hell they're doing.
I know. And then Thomas Brown called
that's what it looks like.
Then he called the timeout and put the offense back on the field, and that's when things did not go well. And Caleb Williams picked off for the first time in his last 354 pass attempts, inconsequential, doesn't matter, 6-3, they lose to the Seahawks.
Well, there's another thing that goes with that, okay? What does he throw? Five horizontal passes, 5, 6, 7 yard passes. How many times does he throw the football over 20 yards? Not too often.
Not often
enough. It's always short passes, and when he does throw it over 25, the ball goes sailing. It goes sailing, buddy.
Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We got some folks that are still hanging on. Let's get out to our callers and let's go out to Glenview and welcome in Chip. Chip, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thank God you guys stayed up for the fans because it's just mind-boggling what's going on with this team. You know, you look at the current rosters of the Packers, Lions, and Vikings, and then you look at the Bears and you're minimum 5 to 6 drafts away from competing. Our offensive line is atrocious. The University of Iowa's offensive line made an underclassman is better than this line. And a lot of other lines. And that's why this talk about Ben Johnson is crazy. If you think this young stud coach like Ben Johnson is going to risk starting his head coaching career with this roster, knowing what he knows about the division and what other coaches would be advising him not to take this job, well, I've got some land in the Everglades to sell you because a storied franchise, yes, but it doesn't matter how storied it is anymore. The only kind of coach you're going to get, you'd be lucky to get a Mike Vrabel or even a 73-year-old Pete Carroll because no young guy is going to take this job. And it's not just the roster. Ryan Poles is terrible. He's in over his head. And I would say this. George does care. George McCaskey cares. There's no way he doesn't care. And I hate when they say he doesn't. But this team is in such disarray. You're talking 5 to 10 years from even being good.
Chip, you're not going to get an argument from me.
All right, Chip. All right. And you know what? Some of what you say, you know, is...
It holds water.
...is pertinent. But let me just tell you this. The overarching fact is, if Ryan Poles has created a franchise roster that is so bad that a leading candidate doesn't want any part of it, why does he still have a job?
That is the million-dollar question, million-dollar-plus question. Let's get to our Epicle performance of the game, sponsored by Epicle, revolutionizing beverage hydration with a pickle twist and rapid hydration. Let's give it up for you fans that were actually sat through that debacle tonight and sat through the wind and the rain and the fog and gave the Bears a proper entrance to the locker room at the end of the game, too.
They're the ones that brought it. They stood there through all the rain, chill, wind, everything, and cheered them till the very end of that game. You talk about an epical performance that goes to the 60, 70,000, no matter how many of you are out there, and all of the listeners on radio and the people that watch it on television. You were the people. You're the winners.
I think we're part of the epical performance thing because we had to watch it in the other room as well. And come here to report on it for you, 312-981-7200. Let's try to sneak one more in before we get to the bottom of the hour and our newscast. Let's go to Steven. You're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. I have two things I would like to bring up. One is I'm surprised the owners have no protection in their contracts against these criminals like Nate Davis and Montez Sweat. It's just mind-boggling. All the sports, so they can get away with this without any protection at all. The other point I'd like to make is last week at their halftime show of the game, Jimmy Johnson said something I've never heard a broadcaster ever say. He said, "This second half, we'll see if the Bears belong in the NFL." And that really shocked me. So take it away, guys, and thanks.
All right, Stephen, thanks.
All right, Stephen. Well, you saw today, 60 minutes of football, offense, defense, special teams, what we put up. 3 points. 3 points. We can't even average, and what make it, we can't average a point, a quarter. We can't even average a point a quarter. That's a fact, and that's what happened today. We got our backside handed to us, offense, defense, and special teams. It was a pathetic game performance, and I'll say this, and I said it before. When the hell is this quarterback going to step up to the plate and move this team up another to another level? When is he going to do it? He's got one game left. It's up in Green Bay. Show up, son. Make something happen. You're the only one that can do it.
The Bears' possessions resulted in a punt, a punt, a punt, second quarter, a field goal, and then end of half. Third quarter, punt, punt, fourth quarter, punt, punt, interception, fire them all.
Yeah, it's hard to hear.
2024.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to hear.
With guys making hundreds of millions of dollars and a mountain full of coaches. We have 26 coaches and we can't score more than 3 points and we get our backside handed to us for the 12th time out of a 17 game schedule. And you think we don't have a problem?
Well, you'd be wrong if you don't think we have a problem, because there certainly is some issues up there in Lake Forest and today here at Soldier Field.
Seven punts, an interception, and one field goal.
And that is not going to get it done. It didn't get it done tonight. Seahawks beat the Bears 6-3. Bears fall to 4-12. They are now lost 10 straight games. That is now the second double-digit losing streak in a couple of years here.
And we haven't beaten a team with a winning record. Of the four wins, folks, we have not beaten one team with a winning record this year.
And let's not forget, this is all under the leadership of Ryan Poles. He's the one that has brought the coaches in here. And remember,
he's got to go, Danny.
We cleaned house on offense this year, where Eberflus did, brought in Shane Waldron, and a bunch of other coaches that kept Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach. How many coaches has he hired in the 3 years? Well over 30. Tell me one of them that should keep his job, Andy.
I'll tell you what. Just get him on the next plane out and have him and his chewing gum get out of town.
All right. We'll come back with your phone calls, 312-981-7200. Quick time out for the news here. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Well, they're playing zero coverage a little bit tighter. There's not many great options for the ball to be out. There's a couple of screens you can end up getting to, but they'll still be able to route it to the football a little bit quicker. So I'm trying to just make sure we guaranteed into a true field goal opportunity that was like legitimate and we felt good about. So that was the thought process behind it.
Interim head coach Thomas Brown talking about the passing game late. Happen to be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
And real quickly, again, I'll say it again. There are two decisions. If you're smart enough, you're play by play, second by second, minute by minute, watching that game. You're the head coach making the calls. At that particular point, you knew what to do. There's one of two things you do. You kick the field goal, or you throw it in the end zone. That's exactly what you do.
And they went 0 for 2 in that decision-making process. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. As the Bears lose 6-3 to the Seattle Seahawks out at Soldier Field, let's go to Cleveland, Ohio, and say hi to Dan. Dan, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Good, Danny, good.
Good. Hey, I've just been listening to the whole post game. Huge Bears fan. Just wondering, like, everybody asking for Cole Kmet targets, and like you just compared like Sweat to Aiden Hutchinson, and
there is no
Detroit
comparison.
Was drafted like 2 overall. Like, are we showing our tails here? Like, what's going on here? Like, obviously, Keenan Allen is a better player. Obviously, DJ Moore is a better player. Obviously, like, if we could have Aiden Hutchinson, we wanted him, but we couldn't get him, so we got Montez Sweat. Like, are we showing our tail here? Are we being a little silly? Like, this seems a little suspect.
Well, I really don't know the point of your call,
I'm not
but
sure
I will
either.
Tell
Thanks,
you
Dan.
This. The point being is that Ryan Poles made the move, traded a second-round pick for Montez Sweat. Now, Montez Sweat was a first-round pick. The point being is he paid him like a premier player in the NFL, a premier pass rusher in the NFL. Have we gotten that out of this acquisition? The answer is a resounding no. And not only does he not affect the quarterback, he doesn't affect the game. And he only plays 60% of the time, which is insane. You pay somebody to be a difference maker. You can't make a difference if he's not on the field. You allow it, acknowledge it, and go along with it. That's why Ryan Poles needs to go.
Yeah, and it's not only about the sacks with Montez Sweat. It's about making other players. I'm just saying, but it's not just about the sacks, because it's also about being on the field and making those around you better, because you have to be accounted for, and he's not.
Correct.
Yeah, correct. I just want to clarify. I mean, it's not all about. I mean, the sack is the glory stat, but you know, you'd like to see him get more. But again, it's not all about that.
It's not about the sacks. It's about hitting the quarterback, pressuring the quarterback, creating holding calls, getting, you know, batted ball, all this. You can't do anything if you're not on the field.
Yeah. It comes down to the bottom line is he's not a difference maker, Dan, and he's paid to be a difference maker.
So where's that money going to go? How can we get a difference
in
maker
his pocket
if he's using the money?
312-981.
Smarter coaches, smarter general manager. That's how.
7200 is the number. Let's go to Arlington Heights. Say hi to Susan. Susan, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hi, Dan. I've been watching you since you've been playing on the Bears. You're my favorite player.
Thank
OB,
you,
I love you to death. This is the best show in the world. What I want to say is that all these Bears fans that have stuck by, sitting in the rain, suffered this whole season.
Unbelievable.
I think the Bears management, coaching staff should take out a full-page ad in the paper apologizing to everybody and the whole city, saying how sorry they are for the sad outcome of this entire season and everything that has happened. There's nothing they can do to make it up to all these fans and all the people that have stuck by them, except maybe take out an ad and apologize, because it's absolutely horrific.
Susan, what you just said is, it's okay with me, but I just double down with what you just said. For those fans, what they've gone through all the way up to here, loss after loss after loss, excuse after excuse, got every damn excuse known to mankind, okay? And these fans stayed in the rain, stayed in the chill, and cheered them on till the end of that football game. My God, how wonderful are these people? And thank you for noticing that, Susan, because I'll tell you what, I've said it a million times, we have the best damn fans in the land. Right here.
Making an apology would be a good start. What they really fans really want to see is change. And that becomes, you know, evident on Monday, a week from this coming Monday.
Change has to come, Danny.
Yeah.
It has to.
And everybody gets fired.
Quickly, too.
And that sends a message, not only, you know, to the fans, it sends a message to these damn players that go through the motions and are back up to the pay window on Tuesday.
Today they did, Danny, and it made me sick.
And real quick, too, I mean, I know that, you know, we've talked a little bit about Kevin Warren today, and his main gig is to get a stadium, get shovels in the ground, quote-unquote. But here's the problem that they're not understanding is they could build a brand-new palace, and if this Bears team continues to play the way this Bears team plays, there's not going to be many seats that are going to be occupied in that new palace.
And again, this thing is supposed to be, what, a $5 billion?
Yeah.
How much do you think the PSLs will go for?
Oh, man.
Oh, it'd be almost unaffordable. But more importantly, I was at the game last Sunday, and there were 25,000 Detroit Lion fans in the stands. If that doesn't tell the McCaskies they have to do something, nothing will.
Yeah, a lot of season ticket holders are selling those tickets on the secondary market, and Detroit fans ate them all up. All right, let's go back out of the phones real quick here into Phoenix, Arizona, and say hi to Eli. Eli, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Dan and OB, thank you very much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I've been watching the game in Arizona every weekend, and let me tell you something. Shame, shame, shame. Where did this coach came from? Where did this quarterback came from? Did you hear after the game on Prime, the fans were chanting, sell the team, sell the team, sell the team. I don't know what's going on. I was ready to scream on the TV. This is so ridiculous. Please help me out. Fire that coach already. Fire him already. What are they afraid for? I don't know. You guys have a happy new year, and I'm glad to listen to you every weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Eli. Eli, everything you said goes along with how I feel and how Dan Hampton feels. Exactly the same. So just stand tall and stay strong, my friend.
I can picture Eli's finger wagging. Shame, shame, shame on this team right here.
Stay in there, Eli.
All right, 312-981-7200. Let's go out to Milwaukee and say hi to Marshall. Marshall, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I kind of watched the Bears from afar, and one of the things that it's kind of bothered me is that I see when they were changing coaches, one of the Bears players, and it was a captain who's supposed to be a leader, and he's getting after the coach. And I know you guys discussed it many times that it's the inmates running the team, and I totally agree with that. And I think part of that is the general manager. If the general manager has the backing, the coach has the backing of the general manager, I think that makes a difference also. And I just didn't see that. And he's part of the younger crowd. And I'm not getting after the younger generation. It just seems that there's a sense of entitlement. And you don't see the Bill Belichicks and the Andy Reid doing that on a day-to-day basis. They run the show. The team knows who's running the coach. And I just want to see what your guys' take is on that.
All right, Marshall, thank you.
Marshall, let me tell you what. There's a certain standard in the National Football League. There's three, you know, special teams, offense, defense, okay? And there's a winning standard, okay? And obviously, you got all things being equal, you got to have the physical ability to get everything done. But where the real strength lies is mental ability. And as an owner and as a general manager, as a head coach, coordinators, position coaches, you got to understand that. You have to understand that and filter that down through your players. And if you can filter that down through your players, you're going to have a better football team. You're going to have a winning football team. And the fans are going to love you. Why? Because you'll be a smart football team. And smart football teams win football games in the National Football League. Dumb football teams lose games.
The fans are, you know, they're going to cheer and maybe boo sometimes. And, you know, you can't react to that. It's not something that you know, we react to. We have a job to do, and you know, sometimes, you know, you don't do so well on the job some days, and some days you, you know, you're pretty consistent. Some days you, you know, you play a great game.
Son, you haven't beaten a team this year with a winning record. You've only won 4 games, and not one team had a winning record. You lost 12. Keep your mouth shut. Let your actions on that field do your talking for you. It's enough already with you.
Camp will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
You know, and we've only got a few moments here. Let me just say this to the fans that are still hanging on. You know, you just like us, we are in a desperate spot where we can't tolerate what we saw tonight. I'm almost verklempt. I have no answer to why you would field a football team without any semblance of orchestration on the offense. And you could tell it was a complete disaster by the end of the first quarter, Andy. So in 10 days, and it shouldn't be 15 or 30 or 2 months. It needs to be quick and decisive. They need to move and move quickly. This week, my choice is Mike Vrabel. And let's just say Mike Vrabel, you know, is a candidate that is interested. You do what you have to do to bring him in and let him start assembling a coaching staff. All that being said, let me give you a couple of, you know, what would you call it, you know, practical thoughts here. Right now, the Baltimore Ravens lead the NFL in total yardage with 6,700-something yards. We're about 4,600. About, you know, what, 65% of what, you know, the number one offense. How do you get to where you have that type of an output? Well, it has to be a combination of changes. Now, obviously, it starts with getting a true leader. Guys, it has to be based on discipline, toughness, accountability, things we don't have right now. But once that is accomplished, the offense, you could expect with competent plays and structure, you could expect maybe a 10% increase. Rebuilding the offensive line. Right now, we have the 7th pick in the first round. Will Anderson is a big left tackle at LSU. I would love to see him be a draft pick. The second one would be a center at Alabama. The third one is a guard at Georgia. I'm looking at these guys and projecting. I would spend the first 3 draft picks on offensive line. You've got the quarterback that you think is the future. You want to make sure what happens tonight and this year never happens again. He was sacked 67 times this year, OB. Right. 67 times. The 4th most in the history of the NFL.
One more game to go.
Yeah, we could hit 70. Now, the last thing is, if the offensive line and the coaches are in place, you would have to expect the quarterback to at least make a 10% improvement. And if you do that, then you're talking an offense that's competent and capable of being with the top offenses in football. It's not that far away if you are smart and you make the right decisions.
Dan, they take all 7 draft picks, all 7 draft picks, offensive linemen, all 7. All 7.
That's a little drastic.
You're damn right it is. You think we don't need something drastic to happen around
here?
Well,
he drafted a punter in the 4th. How you know, pressing was the need.
Danny, let me have the stage, will you? And I don't think I know I'm right. Our problem is the offensive line. That's our main problem, the offensive line. Why? We get sacked. We can't run the ball, we can't pass the ball, we can't convert on 3rd down, and we can't score points. And I'm right on every one of those points.
You're correct.
And the biggest problem we have is our offensive line. I mean, an imbecile could figure that out. And that's why I said all seven rounds, draft offensive linemen, hopefully maybe the fourth, fifth, or sixth, or seventh round from some junior college or somewhere comes through. But my God, that has – why? We've got receivers. We've got receivers. We got a couple of running backs, okay? We've got a quarterback. Where the hell is our main problem on offense and defense? And what I just said is our line. Address the problem. Address the problem. That's why I say seven draft choice, all offensive linemen.
Well, you know how we do the New Year countdown, 5 days till – well, it's 10 days. 10 days – till some major changes can be accomplished, Andy.
And just to be clear, the interviews can't begin until January 6th, and until the division round concludes, all the interviews that the teams conduct have to be
virtual.
That's
active coaches. Mike Vrabel is not
no,
active.
No, that's what I mean. I'm an active coach.
He could be in that office tomorrow morning.
He could be. You're correct.
And let me say something. Correct.
If they had a brain.
I agree with Dan. Mike Vrabel would be one. Cliff Kingsbury would be number two. He's the offensive coordinator, I believe, for the Commanders.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, for Washington Commanders. Why? Because he was Caleb Williams' coach at Southern Cal. But Vrabel is the man. He's another Dan Campbell. He's another Dan Campbell. He will not put up with this nonsense, and he will bring a winner to Chicago.
Do you think DJ Moore would walk off the field during an active play?
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
If Vrabel was the coach?
If he did,
he would
get an extra boost. He'd get a drop kick right in his backside and kick him right out of the stadium.
Yep.
And DJ Moore is a captain. What does that tell you? And what about Jalen Johnson, the childish idiot move that he made last week, getting a personal foul when Detroit's driving for a score?
Dan, we've talked
Wouldn't
about
happen.
That. It's insane what's going on here.
They get away with it because they get away with it.
Yep.
This is like we've got criminals in a jailbreak, getting out of jail, running down the halls, doing whatever they want to do. It's unbelievable.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us here tonight. 6-3, the final.
We're not done.
Seahawks. Well, I'm done. I'm walking out. 6-3, the final. Seahawks over the Bears. We will let you know when we're back with you because the NFL has not announced the schedule for next weekend, the final week of the season. The Bears taking on the Packers. It could be Saturday. Could be Sunday. Could be noon. Could be 3:20. Keep it here to WGN, and we'll let you know as soon as we find out.
At night, too, couldn't it?
Well, Happy New Year, gentlemen, and absolutely. We will go on to Green Bay for the finale.
Sounds like a plan. Happy New Year.
You got a happy, a prosperous, and more important, a healthy 25 to everybody. God's love, my people.
And a big thanks to Sammy, Eli, and Jack for doing a great job for us, as always.
They're the best,
and
period.
Hello, football fans, from longtime sponsor Nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk.
For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk at jeffvuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side.